11th chapter. Beginning with verse 1 through verse 6. I want to speak to you tonight on faith as victory. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, first of all, what is faith? And it gives it to us in verse 1. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What it is just saying simply, oh, amen to God. In other words, we've fully given over, and the Lord is the ruler of our life. We can depend on him. We can trust him. It's forsaking all. I take Jesus. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. If the blind put their hand in God's, they find their way more surely than those who see but have not faith or purpose in their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Again, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. John 5, verses 4 and 5. John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, the more you study faith, the more you realize and understand that he said, without faith, you cannot please him. Well, you can understand that faith is the key to everything spiritual. It's the key to everything concerning Christ and concerning God. So, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and the victory that overcometh the world is our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This great faith chapter that we're looking at tonight emphasizes what faith does with only verse 1. Telling that what faith is, and the other 39 verses demonstrating what real faith accomplishes. Let's do it again. This great faith chapter emphasizes what faith does with only verse 1 telling what faith is, and the other 39 verses demonstrating what real faith accomplishes. Faith believes the incredible, sees the invisible, and achieves the impossible. Peter, Ain't possible to walk on water. But his faith in Christ achieved it, accomplished it. Faith believes the incredible. Faith believes in creation. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand. Now notice, if you understand, it's a reality. Okay? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Didn't come in by a big bang or any other kind of a bang. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand God framed the world. So the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. It just appears that maybe evolution, and maybe you can take some things out of nature and try to take it out of its setting and make it seem like that evolution is a fact and is real. Listen. Man has not evoluted up, as evolutionists want to tell you. He's evoluted down, and it's perfectly clear. Look at the world today. Look at what we're having to endure and put up with today. That's not up. It's down, way down. Look at Psalms 33, verses 6 through 9. 33rd Psalm, verses 6 through 9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Now what God does can't be undone. Doesn't mean he can't undo it, but it can't be done undone by man. So I'm not a bit scared of the poles thawing out and the ocean flooding the earth. Listen to this verse. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. That means he's the one that stored that up there. Man's not going to undo it. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That kind of does away with him taking and forming it in 6 days, doesn't it? How did it get created? Instantly. He spoke it into existence, and it was and did. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 5. The Bible says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Faith believes the incredible. And faith believes creation and that God created. That it came about supernaturally. In other words, he did something man could not do. Man cannot create. He's tried to create life in a test tube for eons. Never able to do so. They're trying to put life into these mechanical outfits that they make up. I don't care what you do. There has to be man behind it. And there's no life in it. Just voice. All right. So faith believes the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Look at Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And right there is the reason we have this commotion going on over in the Holy Lands today, is because the seed of Abraham, the promised seed, came through Isaac. And the seed that Abraham and Sarah brought forth in an illegitimate marriage rightly claims that they come through Abraham, but they are not the promised seed. They are not the chosen. At any rate, of whom was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Talked about God calling, and he called it through Isaac, not through Ishmael. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And Abraham went to offer up Isaac. He was going to offer him up because he believed God. He believed that God could raise him again, even if his life was taken. But you see, God had other ideas and had a better picture of the reality, and that is, he provided a lamb to take Isaac's place. Faith believes the miracles. Look at John 20, verses 30 and 31 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These signs were the miracles that he performed, showing forth who he was and where he came from. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Faith believes that God could love and save sinful man. And by the way, sinful man was not lovable. Sinful man is still not lovable. Sinful man is not in with God. He's not in the family of God and outside of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so this idea that religion has, that we're just all brethren and we're all of God and we're all the same, no matter what, you can throw it out the window. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent of what? Of sin, because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Faith can believe that God can love a wretched and miserable sinner like you and me. The Trinity of God. Faith can cause you to believe in the Trinity. Look at Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's God, the God of heaven. They're one in every way and everything except in persons. Matthew 28. And verse number 19, the Bible says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And he didn't create anything in between. Man does that. Faith caused one to believe in the incarnation of Jesus. Look at John chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Faith sees the invisible. The vision of faith, Hebrews 1, or Hebrews 11 and 1, rather. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You believe by faith, you can believe that God created all things that exist. Verse number 7, the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Evidence of things not seen. You see, Moses believed that evidence. Where did evidence come from? It came from God. Faith sees the invisible God. Hebrews 11 and verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What do you mean, is invisible? God's a spirit. Hey, by the way, we are a spirit. We just dwell in a physical body. But the who you are is that inward spirit that you are. That old flesh is just a place to habit and to function and to provide for that spirit that's within, including the brain. The brain can provide that knowledge and brings the evidence that brings faith to believe and trust in the Lord and believe the truth of things that exist and so forth, and to believe in the future promises of God, and that what main promise we're looking forward today is the coming of Jesus in the clouds of the air, that he'll take all of his out of this old world, and he'll change these old bodies of ours that are corrupting and going away, and he will give us a new body that we'll dwell in forever, a heavenly body. That's faith. Also, it is hope as well. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter, or verse 7 rather, of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The promises of God and the Old Testament saints. Look at verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Just like afar off, we can see the coming of Jesus. Afar off, we can see that holy city, New Jerusalem, and all of those things that are come to pass. As the Old Testament saints saw the things that come to pass when Jesus first came to this earth, and when the benefits and so forth that we've received and are still receiving as a result of it. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Not only were they strangers and pilgrims, but they were persecuted people, and their faith did not waver, because they saw by faith what was coming. They saw the coming of Jesus. They saw the sacrifice of Jesus. They believed with all of their heart to the saving of their soul. And that was by faith. Faith sees the promises of God. Moses saw Jesus in his riches. Abraham saw Jesus in his day and rejoiced. Look at John 8 and 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. How'd he see it? He saw it by faith, and it made him glad, rejoice, because he knew he had so much to look forward to, so much provided by God and his love toward mankind. And not provided by man, because that which is provided by man rots and rusts and decays and gets stolen or whatever else that it is that the Bible sets forth in Matthew 6. At any rate, that which Jesus does, what he gives and brings, it will be eternal, everlasting. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If we're going to walk, we need to walk by faith, because faith pleases God. Why? He says, without faith, verse 6, he says, you cannot please God. Where do we get our faith? From the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why is our faith weak? Because we neglect the Word of God. Did you know that the Word of God is God talking to you? Talking to me. And you know, God's not pleased if there's just a one-way conversation. If we talk to him all the time and we don't let him talk to us, it weakens our faith. Faith achieves the impossible. The victory of faith. Hebrews 11 verses 4 and 6 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you believe that he is, then you need to also believe that he's a rewarder. That you believe that he is who? That he is God, and he has the power to reward those that diligently seek him. And there is a reward, abundant reward, and a reward that truly can be enjoyed when it comes from him. And it'll come to those who will faithfully worship and serve him, give him honor and glory. But wait a minute. As an individual, we cannot worship and serve God acceptably and receive his best and the greatest of rewards outside of a scriptural New Testament church. Cut it any way you want to slice it. You cannot do it in a church that was originated by man. You cannot do it in the religions of this world. You cannot do it in being good and doing good. And as my old uncle, and I fear that he died and went to hell, he used to say that I've done what I could do as right as I could do it, and I've played the game fair. And he said, so that ought to count for something. You know what it counts for? Nothing. Nothing, because faith in Jesus is what really counts. Believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder that to those who diligently seek him. And that word diligently has a meaning to it. It don't mean haphazardly or a pretense or going through the motion or making a show. It means you do it with a heart. You do it with all that you are. Again, church membership in a New Testament church is a way of life. The call to ministry for a pastor is a way of life. If you're ordained as a deacon by a New Testament church, it's a way of life. It's not something you do part-time. If you're a church member, it's a way of life. It's not just something you do at church and when you're around the preacher or the brethren. It's a life that you live, and you live it according to his word. Again, faith and what it achieves. It defies God's natural law of gravitation. Again, Peter is the example. I believe it's Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 30 and 31. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. His faith wavered. He didn't have enough faith or good enough faith to stay on top of the water. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? You know, we have faith in the Lord. Why do we doubt? He's all powerful. If he's for you, who can be against you? Faith can move mountains. Abraham and Sarah became parents of Isaac at an old age. And Daniel, the mouth of the lions were stopped for him. With Christ, Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. You believe it. You have faith to back it up. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ. Listen, he says, with me, all things are possible. Without me, you can do nothing. In other words, anything you do without him amounts to nothing. There's no value in it. And when there's no value in it, what's the use of doing it? But listen, you're not looking for that value for you. You're looking for the value for him, because we're here to please him. We're here to give him honor and glory. We're here to exalt him. We're here to carry him to this lost and dying world. We're here to reach the heathen. We're here to reach the backslidden. We're here to reach all who are without Jesus as their Savior. We're to bring them faith through the preaching of the Word of God. We're not preaching ourselves, we preach the Word of God. Because the Word of God is that which is empowered by Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he come into church on Acts, the first chapter and verse 8. That power was the Holy Spirit. And when we present the Word of God, the Holy Spirit accompanies that Word and empowers it. It gives that power that it's talking about. We need to preach the Word. Folks, the things that are going on in this world, I'm persuaded by what the Bible teaches concerning the conditions of the coming of Jesus. I'm convinced he could come anytime. You say, well, I've heard that all of my... Wait a minute. The condition that's around us was not like it is now, back then. Yeah. Just think about it. Don't just shut it off and say, you know, think about what's going on compared to what it says will be going on here when Jesus shall come. You know? Well, can we depend on that? Certainly can. Because listen, Ezekiel 38th and 39th chapter deals with Israel being scattered into every nation. They were. Ceasing to be a nation. Buried in the nations. And they were gathered back. And in 1948, as he promised, in 1948 they became a nation.
Right.
Now they're a world power.
Yeah.
You look at what they're doing. It affects the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in our lifetime. Look at all of this. Listen, that's a sign of Jesus coming.
Yeah.
And rather soon. I don't think we have time to fool around. I think we need to be busy about doing what the Lord would have us to do. Now, I may not be alive when he comes, but I'm convinced many of you will in your lifetime, maybe even in mine. Who knows? Things could cut loose over there. Brother Cooper has a tendency to tell us from time to time when they've got peace over there and Israel is dwelling in unwalled cities and prospering, when there's peace there, and this situation here can easily bring peace, then look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to come. You need to repent of your sins. That simply means you need to turn with all of your heart from self and sin and trusting in yourself and to put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you'll come confessing your sin, he'll forgive you. If you're here and you've got sin that's robbed you of the enjoyment of your salvation, you need to come and confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That is, if you will from the heart repent and trust him to forgive and cleanse. What shall we sing?